we're working on present building and future creating. So what that means is really just identifying, again, and so many of us are so, I think, stuck in the past or looking too much in the future, we miss out on the right now. Some of the most successful people that I work with, they find this most tremendous value in being able to be grounded, to be able to learn how to just be really centered and be where their feet are, and to be really able to maximize those moments.
Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today, Jesse Brizendine. Jess, it's great to have you on the show.
Gresh, it's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have you on. And before we jumped into the interview, I want to read a little bit more about Jesse so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. An award-winning speaker and best-selling author, Jesse is a world-renowned expert who works with individuals and organizations to move beyond their limitations, unlock their greatness, and build their Camelot. Business leaders, Hollywood celebrities, entrepreneurs, C-suite executives, medical professionals, and educators have utilized Jesse's services to achieve unprecedented levels of personal mastery and fulfillment. Jesse is a big fan of buffets, professional wrestling, and finding the silver lining in any situation. And I had the pleasure of being on Jesse's show. He's done so many awesome things. I really enjoyed having a conversation with him. One of the best things I think we found out a little bit later on in the interview is that we both have one of our favorite quotes we share is, "Don't tell me the sky's the limit," because there's footprints on the moon. And you have to check out his TED Talk. Very powerful, life-changing, I would say at that, over 300,000 views. And he provides loads of great content and information on his YouTube and so many great places. So Jesse, pleasure to have you on the show. Are you ready to speak to the IMCL community?
Hi, Gresh. Thank you so much again for having me.
Absolutely. What I wanted to do to kick everything off was rewind the clock a little bit, hear a little bit more on how you got started, what I call your CEO story.
Gosh, how I got started. I think so many people, I started at a crossroads. And my first real big crossroads I can remember actually was going through a breakup as my first broken heart. I was absolutely devastated, had all these emotions coming up I had no idea how to deal with. I think as men too, we're often told you're not supposed to, big boys don't cry, stiff upper lips, suck it up, get back out there, all those kinds of things. And none of that really resonated with me. And I had this epiphany, if you will, that I realized that if I didn't do something about this, I would likely end up right back where I was, but only more time would have passed. And so it really spoke to me that I need to do something to start to change, start to work on myself. And that has always played powerfully in my life, Gresh, where it's been this place of when I recognize that there's something I should do or I want to do, that I literally am at that crossroads of if I don't do this thing, then I will probably end up right back where I am. But the only difference is more time will have passed. And that's kind of really the nexus of so much of my journey is finding myself at that crossroad and asking myself that question, where do I want to go? And if I don't go that way, will I end up right back here with just more time having passed?
Yeah, and that's so powerful because I think, and I don't know if you've had that exact same situation, I feel like I have, where sometimes when you're going through those difficult, challenging times, you feel hopeless and you feel like there's not anything to do. But I feel like that question or maybe that realization of the statement that you said is so powerful because it starts to, I guess, remind us that we can do certain things, maybe not to change the situation or what happened, but at least maybe change our perspective or how we're looking at it.
And that's the piece right there. There's always something we can do and there's always something we can change. And I do some mentorship for a group of about 2,500 widowed men. And many of these men are accomplished individuals. They've built big businesses. They've had very prestigious positions. And they all have that common thing that unites them in that they've all lost a spouse, a significant other. And what's remarkable is you have these people who are so great or have been so great at solving problems, finding solutions, and been highly compensated to do that. Some of them have been disruptors of industry. And yet they find themselves all at that same crossroads of dealing with that emotional turmoil. What am I supposed to do? And we always talk about this is how important it is to start small. And I think that's the case with even business owners too. Many business owners fail because they try to do too many things too fast. I think many leaders, they might fail because they try to do too many things too fast. You come into an organization, you're the new person in charge. And if you go and try to just flip everything up on its upside down, it's going to be really hard for people to acclimate and adjust. Remember, humans are always creatures of comfort. Familiarity is the place that we like to be, we like to spend our time in. It's why most of us don't disrupt our life, or at least we only do it a little bit at a time. And if we cause too much disruption too quick, you're going to end up disrupting the very thing that you don't, which is going to be the personnel. So it's always great to be strategic, start small, identify those key areas of focus, and then build some momentum from there.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's a lot of like how you work with and serve your clients, by being able to help them to see things maybe that they're too close to see and start to realize that, oh, I'm hitting goal after goal, but I haven't even thought about resting. I haven't even thought about what that looks like. I haven't even thought about refueling or changing tire, all those things. Do you feel like that's how you work with your clients?
I feel like so much of the game, gosh, it's sustainability, right? And sustainability is something that a lot of us, we don't necessarily, I think, look at initially, especially when we're hungry, especially when we're driven, especially when things seem to be going really well, or maybe they're not going so well and we have our back against the wall and we're trying to scrap and claw and get things together. Sustainability is invaluable because it's that thing that we all recognize in some way that we should prioritize, be thinking about, but it's a thing that we don't necessarily do. I'll give you a short story. I was really blessed that one of my very first clients I worked with outside of college was somebody who had been on the cover of Forbes magazine, was a titan in the financial industry, had made decisions, done things, created programs in the financial industry that we're still utilizing today. It was a massive disruptor. And when I started working with him, he had literally, it was an incredible story, gone from the bottom, started as a low-level entry position to the CEO of one of the biggest, most powerful companies in the world, and had not prioritized his health. And so as a result of that, suffered a stroke in his 30s, a heart attack in his 40s.
Wow.
And here he was in his 60s at the time, more money than anyone could imagine. And because he hadn't prioritized his health, he hadn't been thinking of sustainability. He was barely able to function and enjoy day-to-day life. The thing that he loved to do more than anything at that season of his life was to be able to go out in his flower garden and garden. And the one thing that he couldn't do at that season of his life was go out in flower garden. He couldn't stabilize himself. He couldn't stand up and balance to do it. He could barely walk to do those types of things. So sustainability would be, okay, yes, I want to accomplish this, but gosh, how do I want to live my life in 30 years? How do I want to enjoy the success I'm creating now 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road from now? And beyond that, we're alive at such a fascinating time where it's not unrealistic to think that the human life expectancy couldn't increase to 90, 100, 110 years in the next 10 to 15 years. And when we're thinking about that, and we're thinking about, okay, if I'm going to really now get not just 20 more years, but maybe 40, 50, 70 more years, what kind of quality do I want those years to be? And sustainability is really going to be the key to that. The only way we're going to be sustainable with this, the only way, the Gran Turismo movie, the last race, and it highlights the Le Mans, which is a 24-hour race. The only way you're able to sustain a 24-hour race is if you're coming out and doing the pit stops and making sure you're well-maintained and running at optimum at all times.
Yeah, thank you so much in sharing that story. And it's so powerful. I think so many times when we hear sustainability, especially from a business standpoint, we're thinking of, okay, sustainability within the business, but we forget about that human part, sustainability of yourselves, that we're running a marathon ourselves. How do we make sure that we're not just burning out at mile one or mile 10, that we have the 26 plus miles that we want to accomplish, and we want to do it again and again and again. So it's so important that we do, I think, have that intentionality related to the things that we're doing so that we can make sure that we are ready for those marathons.
100%.
So I wanted to drill down a little bit more, hear a little bit more on how you're working with your clients. Could you take us through a little bit more on what that looks like, how you're serving your clients, and of course, what I like to call your secret sauce, what you feel sets you apart and makes you unique?
Yeah. So typically, the way I work with clients is we're really working on a few things. We're working on behavioral strategy, right? So behavioral strategy is critical. Mindset, heart set is paramount. Right? Is what we think, what we feel, are we in alignment there? Is it really, is what we're doing really what we want to be doing? There's so much important work to be doing around that. And then we're working on present building and future creating. So what that means is really just identifying, again, and so many of us are so, I think, stuck in the past or looking too much in the future, we miss out on the right now. Some of the most successful people that I work with, they find the most tremendous value in being able to be grounded, to be able to learn how to just be really centered and be where their feet are, and to be really able to maximize those moments, because then what ends up following is that intentionality, right? The step I'm going to take, this next step I'm going to take, is a step towards the future I really want to build, or the future I think I should be building, because we're always building something. I would say my secret sauce is, God, this sounds so funny to say, but I think my secret sauce is really, I'm getting better and better at really just being myself. And in so doing, that scope of relatability that comes with that, or just that authenticity, I think that word almost gets a little too thrown around these days. But really, there's something powerful that comes with that, because as soon as you're able to just be you, and a lot of the people I work with, some of them are pretty powerful people in their own right. So they're used to people just having, conforming, being a certain way around them. And then when you have somebody like me who just me, I remember I did a keynote near the end of last year, and talking about before, I love professional wrestling. And I started the keynote with doing a mock wrestling promo from the stage. I always said, oh, I always wondered what it would be like if I came out on the stage and said, oh, something brothers, or can you smell what I'm cooking, or something like that. Right. And this is a 150 or so people who are all very, not in a certain kind of industry that you would not normally think would be that way.
They're not the wrestling fans.
Yeah, they're not the wrestling fans. But the thing is, it's just me being me. And so what happened is a few people, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to sit through this guy. But everybody else relaxes and says, well, okay, whatever this guy has to say, at least he's just being himself. And I think that's not just my secret sauce, but I really think it's the superpower that all of us can really tap into in a world where we are so, there's so much pressure for us to try to be like or fit into or be this way or be that way. There is something quite incredible and remarkable about being yourself. And I think that when you show up that way, it starts to give other people permission to start to show up in that way too, because I think all of us would feel tremendous less stress if we didn't have to fit into the roles that we found ourselves in, or society has pushed us in so many ways, or we can at least mold those roles so it can be more uniquely us and not so much the confines of it.
So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or even a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
A morning routine is absolutely critical. A good morning routine is absolutely critical, and I'll share you very a brief overview of mine. So waking up first thing in the morning, before I even get out of bed, I do a 3-minute, it's about 2 to 3 minute memory exercise. So the memory exercise is, I want to work my mind, so I do my best to recall the day I just lived, the previous day, the last 24 hours. It details who I passed when I was walking, who I talked to, what we talked about. And then I'll identify 3 things I always want to remember. So it's this exercise of trying to pull stuff from short term to long term. Typically, we usually only do that involuntarily when we have something that's a really high peak emotional state. I want to try to download into my long term memory things that I'm assigning emotional significance. I'm being more intentional about that. And then I will spend a few minutes journaling. So journaling for me, I have a very specific process I've built out. I actually just launched a journal last week for it that kind of mirrors that, but it's basically, I'm looking at gratitude, of course, of what are the most important things I want to get done this day. I do a couple of affirmations that are just really acknowledging myself. And then I want to have an end of the day journal session too, that we're looking at wins of the day and just reflections, but really just honing in on the key things. And there's space for only 3 to 4 key things. And that's really important, because I think a lot of us were too busy. And we're so busy that we don't get some of our best work done because we're too busy doing all the other stuff. So doing something like this, it really helps hone in the focus. And after that, I go and do some exercise. So I'll go outside, walk, go for a run, something like that to get the heart rate up. And while I'm doing this, I will do some I will statements. And I will statements are basically things I will accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you so much in breaking that down. And would you consider that to be a little bit what I call a CEO nugget? That's a little bit more word of wisdom or piece of advice. I like to say it might be something you would tell your favorite client, or if you hopped into a time machine, you might tell your younger business self.
Yeah, I like that. If I were to hop into a time machine, I would tell myself, I would say, there's going to be a time where you're going to really value, that you realize what you value most is sustainability and that emotional experience. And so if that's really the case, integrate that right now. It doesn't have to be, that doesn't have to come, whatever you're going to build, pursue, achieve. It doesn't have to come at a sacrifice of
that. Yeah, and we have to realize that, again, the present is such a gift, and we don't have to wait until later. It doesn't have to be at the end of the rainbow. And I want to now ask you now my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on the show. So, Jesse, what does being a CEO mean to you?
It means that you have been entrusted to enter into a sacred exchange, and that sacred exchange is that the people who will follow you are going to be dedicating the most precious resource they have, which is their time, with you in exchange for you providing for them means to live their life. That's traditional structure, but I would encourage them to look at it as that they are engaging that sacred exchange. They're giving you their time you're going to be exchanging that resource, providing money so they can live their life. But more anything, you have that opportunity to have that time be meaningful in such a way that enriches life, not just beyond financially, but emotionally, spiritually, physically. We all argue that fulfillment is the name of the game that we're all playing, even though if it's not completely spoken or articulated. The majority of us will spend approximately 2/3 of our waking life. And if you are one of those people who is entrusted to lead a group of those people who are making that exchange with you, consider what that real opportunity is. It's not just to grow the business. It's not just to skyrocket the company, but it is a way to lead the people who are following you to a place where not only are they financially better off, but they are emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever that is, better off too.
Nice. I absolutely love that. Jesse, truly appreciate that definition. And of course, I appreciate your time even more. So what I wanted to do now was pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best people get a hold of you, find out about all the awesome things that you're working on.
About getting a hold of my work, you just go and type me in all the social channels, everything. I'll pop up right away and I'll be happy to connect with you there.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much again, Jesse. Appreciate the kind words tremendously. And of course, we're going to have the links and information in the show notes to make it even easier so that everybody can find you. So thank you so much for giving us that value today, and appreciate you, my friend. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
You too, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase. It's a community. Want to level up your business even more? Read blogs, listen to podcasts, and watch videos at cbnation.co. Also, check out our I Am CEO Facebook group. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.